And Jacoby is presented by Samuel Adams from Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Nine p.m. Eastern tonight. It is Game 4 of the NBA Finals. Can the Heat even the series against the Lakers? Find out at 9 on ABC, and don't forget to watch NBA Countdown at 8:30, also on ABC. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, it is Tuesday, so it is time for our Tuesday takeaways. We've taken in all the information from week four and broke it down into one simple thought apiece. What is your Tuesday takeaway?
The Cowboys ain't going to the Super Bowl. Luckily, they're going to make the playoffs because they're in the NFC East. But in order to change their fortunes and remake their roster after they paid a couple of people on defense and they paid Amari Cooper, once they pay Dak, it's going to be at the expense of Ezekiel Elliott. Ultimately, he's going to end up elsewhere, and the team is going to be happy to have him.
My Tuesday takeaway is very simple. If you're in Miami, it is Tua time. I don't care what you say, Brian Flores. Fitzpatrick has 6 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. Put Tua in the game. It is time. It is also time for highly questionable Dan Le Batard. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Make sure you listen to our podcast and subscribe.
Happy Hour is presented by Samuel Adams. Savor the flavor responsibly.
We're getting the crew back together. This feels like old times. I'm so happy I get to do this show again with my favorite song. Bomani, I miss you. How come I don't get to read the questions anymore? That seems like...
Okay, very good. Welcome to Highly Questionable. It is old school. Bomani's smiling because, yeah, he's my dad's favorite. Come on, let's get started.
Should the Patriots be encouraged by their loss to the Chiefs?
I believe that Bill Belichick, even though he's not about moral victories, I believe that he feels a sensual sort of arousal about denying us entertaining football when we're watching the first half of that game. And it ends up in something that nobody would have bet, which is Chiefs 6, Patriots 3. Bill Barnwell had this stat, Bomani, where in the entire Mahomes era, the only time he hasn't scored a first half touchdown is 3 different times. Patriots, Patriots, and Patriots. Yes, they should be encouraged. That's the only thing stopping what we think might be a juggernaut if Patrick Mahomes stays healthy. The Chiefs will be favored in every game they play this season if Mahomes is healthy. So, of course, they should be encouraged by the ability to slow him.
Hey, man, and the Patriots were a couple of breaks away from being in that. That probably should have been a touchdown on that sack that wasn't a sack that Calhoun scooped up and was probably going to go to the house with, but they blew the play dead. Then you had to play with Stidham where the ball bounced off the hands of the receiver and then goes to Tyrann Mathieu and then goes back the other way. Like, I can't believe how competitive the Patriots were in the course of that game. It was stunning. It was shocking. It is outright a testament to Belichick. Because, dude, can you imagine yourself getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, then jumping on a plane, and then whatever it is that you're doing for work, you're not doing it till 7 o'clock, and we're not going to be finished till midnight. Like, those are not optimal conditions. We've seen this from the NFL and from the NBA bubble. Not having that travel really matters in terms of the quality of the games that are being played. The Patriots were at every possible disadvantage in that, and they didn't have Cam Newton, and they actually kept that close. And that's before we start talking about the Patriots being one of those teams that had all the dudes opt out for COVID. Like, that is the Bill Belichick demo tape right there of why it is that I'm better than everybody else. Because it ain't like it's some bum on the other side. That's Andy Reid and one of the best offenses that we've ever seen. And they legitimately kept that game competitive and probably should have been legitimately in it all the way to the end.
Brian Hoyer made a couple of gaffes that deserve the benching. Makes you wonder why and how it is that Stidham couldn't beat that out. If you know the playbook, if you know the offense, if you're in there because of your mind, you can't be the guy with no timeouts taking a sack and letting the half run out on you. But you mentioned COVID, Bomani, and I'm wondering, we mentioned some of this yesterday. What do you make of the idea that the Patriots get a greater competitive disadvantage from COVID from containing the outbreak and following the protocol than the Titans, who get multiple people infected and get to sit out the game and don't have to play without key players? How can you live in a competitive disadvantage world where you drop from Cam Newton to Brian Hoyer when you did the protocols right?
Yeah, but the counter argument is, let's see how those guys go throughout the year. Again, we can go back to the NBA. Kendrick Nunn caught the COVID early, and how long did it take him to come back around? Like, we don't know what it's going to turn into for the Titans, that by the time they get to the rescheduled game, those dudes just might not be 100%. But this is, I don't know what else anybody is supposed to do. It just so happened in this case that it hit the starting quarterback of a team, right? Like, that points out the example that we're talking about in so much of a different way. But I'm so glad that you mentioned quarterbacks, because you know I love 100% any opportunity that I am afforded to remind people that you thought this was going to be a quarterback competition. Again, coming into this with Cam Newton, the people are like, I don't know, Jarrett Stidham's got a job. Cam's going to have to win it. You know, these other guys know the offense. If they know the offense, then Josh McDaniels is going to come up with an offense that only Cam knew if it came down to it. Like, those cats are bums. And it's amazing. Brian Hoyer has been the starting bum for 7 different teams. And just you wait till next year, somebody will give him a chance to be the starting bum for the 8th team, just like Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, I expected Hoyer to be a little bit better than he was, and I expected Stidham to be a lot better than he was. I don't know how sick Cam would have to be for them to be like, nah, we ain't throwing him out here next week.
Should we take away the MVP award that we already gave to Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson and give it to Dan's precious Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
Yeah, we've been passing that thing around here. And I think, by the way, after week one, we might have given it to Lamar Jackson again. Like, that thing is going hot potato. And if you watch the second half of the doubleheader last night and discount the fact that they were playing against the Falcons, Aaron Rodgers looks closer to like 2011 Aaron Rodgers than I remember him looking in a very, very, very long time. Throwing 3 touchdown passes to some dude that I honestly had never heard of before. And this is without Davante Adams. This is without the Lazard dude, who appears to be halfway decent, but he had to go on IR. I don't know if he just got salty because they drafted his future replacement. I have no idea. I'm not in a position to say that all they did was prod him and all of a sudden this turned into something else. But the best case scenario of the Sean McVay disciple coming to play with maybe the best quarterback that we have ever seen, like, it's here now. This didn't look like this last year. And I don't feel like the biggest change has been anything around Aaron Rodgers. The biggest change has been how well Aaron Rodgers has played. And welcome to the party, because he looks like Dan's Aaron Rodgers, as opposed to just some dude named Aaron Rodgers.
Well, the reason that they keep saying it's Dan's Aaron Rodgers is because I'm the guy who has believed that that's as well in his prime as the quarterback position has ever been played. And you can make an argument without knee-jerking that Patrick Mahomes now plays it better. It's evolved since then. The advanced metrics show you that the last couple of years, Aaron Rodgers has thrown the ball away a lot. But he says he's more comfortable in this offense than he was last year. And, Bomani, the thing that I'm marveling at is at the top of the food chain in this sport, the precision of these quarterbacks is an insanity. The accuracy, when you combine them with these coaches, Aaron Rodgers can make a bunch of fifth round picks and practice squad players and an old tight end look like, oh my God, that's as well as offense can be played.
Dude, that tight end didn't even really play tight end in college. I had to look him up. He played like every single position, played a little quarterback, played a little receiver, played a little bit tight end. And now he's out here looking like Kellen Winslow in that playoff game on a Monday night, right? I'm sure he is a very, very, very good player. But what we're talking about right now is Aaron Rodgers. And if he's going to play like this throughout the year, who's beating them, right? If their defense is going to show up even a little bit and you get this level of Aaron Rodgers plus the running backs that they have, who's going to beat them? You got anybody?
Well, Kansas City's the team. Like, and you're looking in the AFC, right? Like, it's got to be in the AFC. You're not going to find it in the NFC.
Yeah, but speaking of the NFC, as far as I know, Dan Quinn still has a job. Are you a little surprised by that?
Well, you wanted to just turn this. Go ahead. Let me get out of the way. You wanted to just turn this again into another riff against Atlanta, and they deserve it, and we would love it.
I didn't want to turn this into a riff against Atlanta. I wanted to turn this into a riff against Bill O'Brien. This is riff on Bill O'Brien Day. I know why it is that Dan Quinn still has a job, because people like him, right? People like him, and there's no point in getting rid of him as of right now. Like, what's really going to change? Are you going to make Raheem Morris the interim coach? Like, what is your plan going to be if you change coaches right now? I would say the same thing about the Texans, right? You fire that dude before he trades your best player, not after he trades your best player, beforehand. Except people don't like him. Like, Dan Orsini reported this. It started to blow up last week with those guys in there. Except the problem is, They never liked that dude. Like, I'm like, what exactly were the Texans thinking that they could hold on for with Bill O'Brien before they were going to have to fire him? Because it was clear they needed to fire him like a year ago.
They kept giving him power and positions and more responsibilities, and he's the guy. And this is always dangerous, Bomani, when you find yourself in a position where a guy has to make decisions to protect his job in the short term because he's in jeopardy. The Dolphins have their first and second rounder next year for Laremy Tunsil. The Dolphins locked that up for a tackle, and then he didn't get near that much back for DeAndre Hopkins.
Yo, how funny is this? That the Dolphins might wind up with the number one pick, and they did the tank for Tua, as people said, and they got Tua with the bad hip. And if they had just waited one more year, maybe they could have had Trevor Lawrence. Because, I mean, how many games is Houston legitimately going to win this year with the team that they have got? And by the way, their offensive coordinator, no matter what you thought about him, I mean, in effect, he's gone now. They don't have a GM. They don't have the guy that was about – oh, I forgot about that part. He said he was going to call plays, and then the owner was like, oh, no, I bet you won't.
No, you're not.
I bet you won't.
No, you're not.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
If they had let you be a wide receiver back in your younger days, you feel like you could have done that? Because I feel like you could have changed your whole trajectory.
I would do that now. I would do that right now. If you threw the ball to me in the flat, I would totally stiff arm a 10-year-old. The part that we didn't show you, and they cut that clip early, Bomani, he didn't make it to the end zone. Somebody tackled him by his ankle. That kid should have never gone down.
Yo, the kid that tackled him by the ankle, that's the one I want to know more about, because that is a fearless young man right there, because I'm just letting him go.
Highly Questionable is presented by Samuel Adams. From Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
National Voter Registration Day is September 22nd. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
Do you question if Novak Djokovic did this on purpose?
All right, so a rough year for the anti-vaxxer Djokovic as he comes down with COVID. And then the last time we saw him at the U.S. Open, he was disqualified as a favorite, memorably, for doing this right here in frustration.
Yikes!
Yeah, you can't be that accurate with that particular
situation.
There you go. And so that gets disqualified anyway. So is this here, Bomani, on purpose? This here, Roland Garros, is this on purpose?
Oh, no. Oh,
wait,
what
kind of question is that? We just wanted to show a second video of him. What do you mean, was that on purpose?
Yo, the horrible luck. I can only imagine how his stomach sank at that moment where he's like, damn, this has happened again. But can I ask a question about the first video, the one from the U.S. Open? And I feel like I'm not just speaking for me. I'm speaking for a lot of people. Dan, I might even be speaking for you. How far removed are we going to be from that video before we acknowledge that that is absolutely hilarious? Like, the only reason that that video wouldn't have made Do You Question with us dying laughing, the only reason it didn't is because we know who the people are who were involved. If that was a Siberian tennis court and the video was grainy and they had to take that lady out on a stretcher, so we would be dying laughing. Instead, we did all the finger wagging at that. And spread that clip one more time. Act like you don't know nothing about it and tell me it ain't funny.
He's so right about this. Yes.
I wish I had a telestrator.
Right. We were so serious when it happened. Should he be disqualified? He's the favorite. That's objectively hilarious.
Yo, what if John Madden had the clicker for that one, right? I don't know why nobody uses the clicker anymore. John Madden.
Why don't you do it? Why don't you do it right here? Why don't you do the clicker right here? Let's do it.
Yeah, we're going to get that boom right when it hits in the neck, then fall back. Boom. Then back. Boom. Back.
Do you question if this is the future of slot receivers?
All right, so this is the situation we have. There's a very good reason that in most team sports, there are weight classes and divisions, so you don't get what you get in football, which is these ridiculous size mismatches. So we go back to this alleged six-year-old that we've been talking about around here, and this kid's not six. This kid's 26.
He's Cam Newton. That is Cam Newton.
That might be the actual Cam Newton, right? So this is, here he is from behind. This is terrifying right here.
Whoa!
Yeah, I know.
Whoa, it's totally terrifying.
Yeah, well, he's 26 years old. But wait a minute, Bomani, if you thought that was funny, wait till you see what I'm about to show you from these 10-year-olds, because check out this slot receiver. This is the opposite of what Belichick does.
Yo, I have to say, I have always wondered why, as a Pee Wee football strategy, they don't give the ball to the portly kids more. Like, what is number 24 supposed to do with that? If they had let you be a wide receiver back in your younger days, you feel like you could have done that? Because I feel like it could have changed your whole trajectory.
I would do that now. I would do that right now. If you threw the ball to me in the flat, I would totally stiff arm a 10-year-old. The part that we didn't show you, and they cut that clip early, Bomani, he didn't make it to the end zone. Somebody tackled him by his ankle. That kid should have never gone down.
Yo, the kid that tackled him by the ankle, that's the one I want to know more about, because that is a fearless young man right there, because I'm just letting him go. There's no way he's dragging me by, like, with his ankle. No, I ain't about to be that. It turns out we actually have a witness to Dan's Pee Wee football career. Let's hear from him.
Oh, no.
That was also a wide receiver who, when he was a kid, he was a
food was unnecessary, redundant.
Yeah, let me tell you whose parents were not letting their incredibly skinny child play no peewee football. I'll never forget the first time that I realized. I was like 8 years old, and I was like, wait a minute, kids play tackle football with pads on? Yes, Bomani, you live in Texas now.
Do you question if Julius Randle's son's teammate had this coming?
All right, so you're going to have to find number 30 here on this video. Number 30, Julius Randle, a very large NBA player. His son is number 30 here. Uh-oh. That's a hard foul.
I get it.
That's a hard foul.
I get it.
Yeah.
I understand. It's not a foul, though. They're on the same team.
Oh, that's right. So that's not a flagrant one. That's just a bad teammate.
No, the bad teammate is number 10. Run this again. Like, I don't understand how in the world young Randle could possibly be the teammate. He wanted the ball. Clearly, number 10 didn't want the ball, but didn't want to pass. And that's the definition of a bad teammate. Give me that.
You think his son is being a good teammate there, that he's being a good teammate by just saying, give me what I want. Let's stop with this nonsense.
Tell me this. What was number 10 doing for the rest of the team by holding the ball like that? Show me one positive thing that he was getting for anybody else in this. And look, run it one more time. He should have been able to throw it over the trap. He had the size advantage over these people. That young man just didn't want to get a ball to anybody else.
Yeah, number 10.
Look,
come on.
Look, 15's open.
Come on.
Everybody's open except for number 10. Yeah.
Oh, look, there's Kelly Olynyk guarding.
Tonight at 9 p.m., Game 4 of the NBA Finals, Lakers and Heat.
Bomani, in this series, Bam Adebayo has not played very much, but when he did play and was healthy, he had a lot of trouble with the size of the Lakers. The other offensive guys for the Heat, it's impossible to say, might help them more bringing Anthony Davis away from the basket than an unhealthy Bam Adebayo. But the story of Game 3 was Jimmy Butler. Here he is talking about the best game of his life.
Jimmy, considering the stakes and the stage and you obviously, you guys being a couple men down, is that the best game you've ever played?
Probably not. I was really good whenever I was in high school. I played in this league where I played against like all 45-year-old men, and I really dominated whenever I was like 17. So this is up there, but back then I was killing them.
I can imagine Jimmy Butler dusting 45-year-olds out. LeBron, by the way, is 35 years old. Bomani, are you intrigued?
I have so many questions about this league. As someone with a passing knowledge of Tomball, Texas, I want to know exactly who those 45-year-olds were that he was hooping against and how many of them play ball in jean shorts. It is entirely possible. And I want to know, none of them hard fouled you? Like, that's the part that I want to hear about, because I see no way possible if I'm 45 and we getting busted up by some 17-year-old kid in the league that he ain't going straight on his back.
That's what got him ready for these finals. Lakers are less physical than a bunch of 45-year-olds with jean shorts.
Tonight at 8:10 p.m. Eastern, Game 2, Yankees and Rays.
Tim Kirkshin says the Rays play baseball better than anyone, that they're smarter about baseball. It must be so demoralizing, Bomani, to be the Rays. And you beat up the Yankees. You were the only team to beat up the Yankees during the regular season. And then you get to the postseason, and you got your ace on the mound, and you get into late in the game, and they bring up this giant statue of a man who's been hurt all season with the bases loaded.
He's so strong.
And he says, yeah, I mean, straight away center field. I mean, yeah, unusual. You can make the argument that he is the strongest hitter of baseballs in the history of the sport, or not the strongest one on his team. Bomani, are you intrigued?
Yeah, I'm a little bit intrigued. Number one, I have no idea who's in the baseball playoffs. I learned during this here particular segment. But we also talk about how I'm off that Falcons narcotic, right? But I always tell you, the Braves narcotic, that one's a little trickier. I get a whiff of it. Nothing reminded me more rooting for the Braves than you telling me how the Rays got all these good pitchers, and then I look up and it's a Yankee hitting a colossal shot around that time of game in order for you to lose. That is my childhood coming around in a way that makes me want to vomit. Jim Leyritz. It was Jim Leyritz. Like, it would be different if it at least that was an actual. At least that was an actual star.
Gave it to you old school today. We'll be doing it again tomorrow this same way. Check out Bomani Jones, The Right Time with Bomani Jones. It is essential listening. Thanks for watching. Years later, this is a true story, Bomani, with my grandfather. This is a true story. A grandfather who at that point, when I asked him to pick up a cell phone, I found him answering the remote control in my house. He was watching on ESPN Classic, the Mark Wohlers, Jim Leyritz at bat. And I came by the television and I'm like, Grandpa, the way this guy's been pitched, he's going to hit a home run here to left field. He's got him measured up because it was an old ESPN Classic game. And then he hit a home run. My grandfather thought the game was live. He didn't think it was. So I'm walking away and he's like, wow, my son really knows baseball. He knows exactly what he can predict here.
Did you start betting against him like Michael Jordan did to Scottie Pippen about the races on the scoreboard?
I did.